Okay, welcome everybody. My name is Grant, and I had the pleasure of working with Pep Central for on the church planning team. And coaching is a passion of mine. I'm excited to hear what Kathy has to say. We go way back to 15 minutes ago. So I got my full endorsement of everything she's going to say today. But I want to make sure everyone's got one of these. Okay. And we got till 5 o'clock, and I'm going to leave it over to Kathy. She's going to introduce herself. She knows herself way better than I do. So, but we're excited to listen about coaching and how we can use it in ministry. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for all the things that we've learned, and I know sometimes there can be a lot of just different sessions, different workshops, different conversations. But I just pray, God, that you would help us to remember and recall what is so vital and important for our ministries where you have placed us. And so I just pray, God, for Kathy. I just pray for her as she speaks, for her passion, for what she has gone through and what you have taught her in life, and how you have used her to grow your kingdom. And so we just pray, God, that we would be able to listen and learn from her. And we just pray, God, that through this, we would be able to recall all the things that she has said so that we go back into our unique places of ministry and be able to utilize coaching as the best possible way that we can. We thank you so much, Jesus, that you have the heart of a coach as well, that you love us, care for us, listen to us, and direct us. And so we just pray, God, that we would have open ears and that you would use us for your kingdom's sake. We just pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
You guys can grab a seat, fill up as many chairs as you can, okay? There's a few up here.
Welcome, everyone. As Graham said, my name's Kathy, and I am from Hamilton, and I go to Heritage Baptist Church, and my pastor is here. Thanks, Sean. And I also have Bridget here from church, and I am excited to present coaching, because coaching is one of my passions. So just a little bit of a background on who I am. So I'm a mom, and I'm a wife, I'm a nanny, to six awesome grandchildren that keep me on my toes. I also was a teacher and a principal, and I retired 6 years ago. And so as part of my passion as an administrator, I love mentoring. And I was able to take a course called Cognitive Coaching, which is very similar to what we're going to talk about today. And in one of my notes of fame in my cognitive coaching experience was I had one of the superintendents of education call me one night and say, would you coach me through something? And I was really nervous about that, but it was great. Because in a coaching situation, I am releasing responsibility to that individual. I'm asking the questions, listening, and asking questions, and being alongside them to help them come up with the answer of what they need for their life. So today, we are going to look at how effective coaching can lead change. So you're going to hear me say that a lot, effective coaching. Because there is something that is not effective when it comes to coaching, and we're going to talk about that today too. As I was preparing for today, I found this definition, and I just love it. Coaching draws out what God has put in. Coaching draws out what God has put in. And I have seen this. I've watched it happen as I've coached and as I've been coached. As part of my coaching training, I got my ACC, which is Associate Certified Coach from the International Coaching Federation. And as part of my studying for that, obviously, I had to be coached many hours, as well as I had to coach many hours. So I know that power of transformation can come in a coaching situation. Today, I think my course, I had to do 36 hours. So how do you take 36 hours of teaching coaching and put it in less than 40 minutes? And you say, oh, I thought this was supposed to be an hour. Well, Yes, I'm not going to talk at you for an hour. We do have an hour to work together. However, I really believe if you're going to walk out this door remembering something, you need to work at it. You need to engage your brain, and so that is going to be part of our session today. My verse for my coaching business, I'll call it, my husband calls it my coaching hobby, is, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. I believe an effective coaching conversation is where the Holy Spirit is sought, and it focuses on drawing out the person you're coaching with. You need a couple more chairs. Oh, there's one here. So what we're going to cover is we're going to consider what is coaching and what is not coaching. I think that's a really important spot to start. I did speak to some people and they said, oh yeah, I know about coaching. Other people said, coaching. I think it's this. So what I want you to walk away with is a better understanding of what coaching is all about. Also, what makes coaching effective. And as part of what makes coaching effective, I want to look at how we can connect coaching to our roles in any ministry we're in. I talked to Elias, and he said, Elias. I talked to Elias, and he said that he uses coaching. He's a parent. He uses coaching. Right? So we can use coaching in whatever role we have. So we are also going to practice, like I said. I believe in you being interactive and you practicing what you're learning here. So we're going to do a bit of that, and then we're going to end with application. How can you take what you've learned about coaching in this 40 minutes and walk out the door being prepared to have a coaching conversation? So, a lot to cover. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you several definitions. I think I have two on the handout as well. And we're going to just look at them, absorb them, and then I'd like you just to think about, looking at these definitions, what is coaching to you? Okay? Coaching is partnering with a client in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires them to maximize their personal and professional potential. So you can see this is from the International Coaching Federation. As I mentioned, this is where I got my accreditation through. And they are a leading global organization for coaches, and they set the high standards and provide certification for coaches. They also certify any program. So if you wanted to take a coaching course, I would look for one that was ICF certified, because you know that there is a standard that has to be met before you can put ICF certification on it. So partnering with client. I love this book. Brian and I were talking about this book. It is great. So if you are interested in learning more about coaching and using it in your ministry, whatever ministry you're involved in, awesome book. And so this is what Keith says. Coaching is not about providing answers, but asking thoughtful questions. Coaching involves listening to others, asking questions to deepen thinking, allowing others to find their own solutions, and doing it all in a way that makes people feel empowered and responsible enough to take action. This quote is from this book here. So Gary Collins is called the father of Christian coaching. This was my textbook for my course. Excellent book, excellent book. And this is what Dr. Collins says. Christian coaching has a greater, nobler, and more eternal purpose at its core. Christian coaching is the practice of guiding and enabling individuals or groups to move from where they are to where God wants them to be. So based on what you've heard so far, just turn just a little bit, but there's definitions there. Take a moment and write down some thoughts. What is coaching. So, what are some ideas? What have you already learned in the last 5 minutes about coaching? Anybody like to share something that stands out from the definitions that we just read? What stands out? Yeah.
I just wrote down, trying to summarize some of what you were saying, is drawing out a person's potential through an intentional relationship.
Nice. I should want to write that down. Put it on my next PowerPoint. Thanks.
Explore the process.
Sorry?
Explorative.
Yes, definitely. Love the word explore. Thank you.
Begins with questions. Questioning.
Questioning is a key part. Yep. Anybody else? What stands out to you? What is coaching? Yes, Brian.
Helping someone take the next step.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. Great. All right. It's important now that we have a better idea of what coaching is to look at what coaching is not. So often when I tell people I'm a coach, they say, oh, you're a counselor. No, I'm not. I do not have that degree. You're a therapist. No, I don't. So it's important to be able to distinguish the difference. So counseling, let's start there. So counseling is guiding a client through past trauma or an emotional distress. It is formal and it's a structured approach that requires qualifications and licensing. And I think that's important to note that currently, to be a coach, you do not have to have a license. You could walk out of here and you could say, I took a coaching course with Kathy Lamond, and stick it on your car. It is not licensed. So that's why, I recommend, like, ICF as a standard. So other roles that are similar to that of a coach where people say, okay, is it coaching, is it mentoring? Graham and I had this conversation right at the beginning. So a mentor is someone who comes in to help build confidence in another person. They use experiences that the mentor has gone through. Typically, it's open-ended, and the focus is on professional development. And Graham suggested that it was more of a long-term relationship, and that might be, but it might not be. So in the role when I was principal, I mentored new principals, and that role just lasted as long as they were new principals, and then our relationship ended. In other cases, I still hang out with one of my mentee. We still get together once a month. So that was a long-term relationship because of the connection that we had and that we made together. So consulting, you typically pay someone for their background of expertise and their experience to give you the answer. You're giving the answer. So it's important to know the difference between these, because if I'm in a coaching role, I should not be traveling into the lane that is a counselor or a therapist. That is not my job. I am not qualified. So that's something that we, when you're trained to be a coach, it's really important that you learn the science of if someone is starting to talk about past trauma, that's not my job, but I will help you find a Christian counselor because that's important. I do not have that skill set, but I do want that person to receive healing. So that's why it's really important to know the difference. I like an analogy to explain because I get tripped up as well. So if you think about, you're going to start riding. You want to start cycling. So you're going to hire a mentor. So what's a mentor do? The mentor comes along beside you and shares the experience of what riding is all about. They might say, oh man, don't use that trail. I wiped out on that trail. Or don't go to that certain place. Or here's this is an amazing ride. You really want to do this one. So the mentor is going to share their experience of the lessons they've learned. A therapist, on the other hand, might say, why haven't you started riding before? What got in the way? Did you fall off a bike when you were a child? Can I help you through that experience? So that would be the therapist. The consultant will bring the bike manual, go through the settings of the bike, tell you all about the workings of the bike, and give you tips where you should ride. They'll say, okay, I want you to be able to do a jump by next week, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to watch you do a jump. Okay? So that would be the consultant. And you would pay them a lot of money.
Whereas, you have to be licensed for that?
I don't know. It's going to be up to you. I'd probably want to see some type of... I at least want to watch them ride a bike. So the coach is going to come ride along beside you. They're going to partner with you. They're going to say, so what kind of riding would you like to do? What kind of adventures would you like to get into? Fortunately and unfortunately, so my son is a cyclist and loves cycling, and he did not have a mentor or a therapist or a consultant besides me, I guess, and he fell very badly up in Collingwood and ruptured his spleen and almost died. So in some cases, it's really good to make sure you have the right mentor or the right consultant when you're going to start riding or something like that. Okay, so that's coaching. So in the role of coach, you're going to come and partner with them to achieve their goals. However, there are critical skills that we do need to learn and embrace if we are going to be a leader that is going to use coaching skills. So how do coaching and leadership connect? So as coaching has become more popular, studies are being done, and it has become evident that when coaching principles have been put in place, there have been clear benefits to that. And this is more in the business world. So Daniel Goleman, he did a study, and coaching came out as one of the best leadership styles. It had a positive impact on performance and on the climate and the culture of the organization and on the bottom line. So leadership coaching has been shown to make leaders better leaders and then equips leaders to use coaching principles to help others. So if I'm in a leadership role, it's great if I can have a leadership coach, and then I can take those skills, and then I can use those skills in coaching my department or my team, whatever I'm working in. So here's another book that I love. This is not a Christian author, but he's great, Michael Fungay Stainer. The Coaching Habit, Say Less, Ask More, Change the Way You Lead Forever. And I think that would be a great title for this workshop today. So say less, ask more, and change the way you lead. Those are really important points. So everyone now knows that managers and leaders need to coach their people, and that coaching is an essential leadership behavior. And he goes on to say that the benefits of coaching is that it helps others unlock their potential, but it also helps you as a leader have more impact. However, a drawback for those of you who have used coaching skills in the area that you are in, coaching takes time. And that is often a drawback. If you're a leader and you want to get things done, then perhaps the conversation is not a coaching conversation in that case. So in a leadership role, there can be a tension between approaches. I've lived it, I understand. It can be easier and faster to lead from a place of authority, where I'm leading from a place where I can give, it's my direction, right? It's my answer. So in my role as elementary school principal, there was many times a new teacher or a new principal would ask for my advice. So my response would be, do you want a coaching conversation? Or you want the answer. So there were times when the answer was needed. So for example, if a new principal calls me and says, Kathy, what do I do in this situation? well, in this situation, I wouldn't even have time to say that. The quick answer was needed, like, yes, call the superintendent immediately because you have to evacuate your building. So that's not a coaching conversation. That is a yes, get those kids out of there, call your superintendent, that's the answer. But there are other, oh, so amazing coaching conversations that I was able to have. And in the coaching conversations, it was about drawing out again this person's exploring, like you said, exploring what is their desire? Where do they want to go? And what do they want to do next? And I am just so happy to be able to have had those conversations, and I have seen several teachers move from being in the teaching role and wanting to go forward into a leadership role. And it's so amazing when you can see two of the people that you coached find their passion and find what they wanted to do. So two men are amazing principals at the Hamilton Wentworth District School Board because we had a coaching conversation, because they took the time to really dig in. And that's what it takes, a coaching conversation. You're not just doing this lightly. This is a dig-in conversation. This is a conversation where you need to take time and you need to take skill and you need to say, I'm going into this as a coach and I'm going in with a coaching mindset. So I'm sorry that this next one is really super difficult to see. So this graphic here is presented by the Professional Christian Coaching Institute. And if you are interested in taking any coaching courses, they are certified with the ICF. I've taken two coaching courses with them. I've taken group coaching and Strengths Finder coaching. So they have fabulous, and they're well-grounded in faith. So this is their pathway or their framework for a coaching conversation. I've used it. It's very effective. So it starts with setting an agreement. And no, you probably can't see that at all. So if you look over here, you can see the pathway as well. So there's the agreement. So you start your conversation with the topic that the client or your coachee or their friend, topic they want to talk about focus. You come up with, so what do you want to walk away with from our conversation today? So you have that in mind, that they've really isolated that and they know what they want to talk about. This section here is the key. So this is where all of that listening and questioning is going on. So this is called awareness. And the key in a coaching conversation is you want to evoke awareness. Not for me. I don't need my emotions. I don't need to evoke awareness for me. It is for that person that is sitting in front of you. You want to evoke awareness. And then you can see it starts to go down here. So the last section is the actions that the person is going to walk away with. So that being said, this next part, learning to coach means unlearning many other habits. I have learned, and I am still learning, to coach effectively means to unlearn some habits. Don't give advice. Don't tell your story. It's not about you. Don't ask leading questions that lead the person to answer the way you think they should. Don't judge. It's not your problem to fix. It just looks so easy up there, doesn't it? It is not. My husband's view, when I first said I was going to go into coaching, said that, oh yeah, you just want to be a coach to boss people around. You retired from being a principal, and now you want to go into this so you can boss people around. No, it's the exact opposite, I tried to explain to him. So if I tell you the answer, so you come to me with a problem, I'm going to say, well, this is what I think you should do. Who owns the... That's right. I'm going to solve all your problems, but what if I don't? What if the things fall apart? What if it doesn't work? Well, he's going to say, oh, well, look at her. She gave me that advice. She was totally wrong. And it's all on me, right? So that's the challenging part of coaching. And it's right because we want to, and especially as you start to build that trust and relationship, you want to have that conversation. And I'm talking about professional coaching now. So in a relationship, you're going to have a conversation. But in a professional coaching conversation, it's going to be just about the other person. And I'm not going to tell my story. But you have to bite your tongue so many times because I just went, oh, yeah, you know, like in a conversation, like, yeah, that happened to me. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell my story. Let me give you some advice on that because I'm going out of my lane. I'm going into mentoring or I'm going into consulting or I'm going into counseling. No, back in the lane, coaching. It is about you. It is not about me.
So I have a question.
Yes.
So I love this approach, and I take this with my staff and the lead pastor. But what if it is my problem to fix?
Then you need a coach.
Well, but it's not my problem.
Oh, I see.
It's my problem to fix because that's something to do with one of the staff people that I'm responsible for.
Okay. So what do you think you should do about that?
That's a good way to go about it.
Because I'm going to put it back to you,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
I'm going to. But so if I was starting to coach you, like we could have a coaching conversation. You know, we could just stand over in the corner and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I would start to ask you more questions. And as I asked you questions, you would start to think, well, maybe this is a possibility.
Okay.
And I would ask you things like that. Well, what are the possibilities that you've thought of before, or what has worked in the past? And as you start to develop your awareness, then I'm going to. And I see that you're starting to. Okay, there are some solutions here that I might be able to do. Then I'm going to ask you what solution works best for you right now. What might you try?
Mm, okay.
And then you would go forward from there. Mm. My card's at the back.
Okay.
Yeah. Follow up question.
Yeah.
So would this be accurate to say that in a coaching conversation, you're seeking to equip the person to better take on the responsibility rather than taking it off your plate?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. If they understand that it is a responsibility too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might have to get into that point where, as you're asking them questions, they understand that that is a responsibility, right? Because you're not owning it. In my course, a thing that our instructor said that I still do, she said, right at the top of your page, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. So there are many times where I'm in a coaching conversation and I'm not sure. I don't know what to say next. I'm going to end with a powerful story about that. But Holy Spirit, I yield to you because He's the one that is guiding the conversation. He's the one that's bringing ideas and questions to my mind that I can share with the person. And I'm walking in yielded and in a loving attitude that I want to help this person come out and be the best they can be. So, here's what we're going to do now. I'm going to remind you, some of you might already know this, put your hand up if you're a psychotherapist in the crowd today. No? Oh, one. Good. You can talk about the whole thing. The last time I did this presentation, I was talking about the second point, and the person gave me all the answers, and I said, what do you do? She said, I'm a psychotherapist. And I said, okay. So if there's any psychotherapists, you already know the answers to these. If you're a teacher, or if you're a pastor, or if you work with kids, you are hopefully using some of these strategies. Active listening is so important. It's the groundwork of a conversation, right? That active listening. So the points today come from the Coactive Training Institute for Coaching, and I've quoted it on the bottom. I would encourage you to look up the whole article. The author really gives you a lot more information than I'm going to give you right now, but... So internal listening. I'm focused on myself, my own experience. I am talking to you, but in my mind, well, you know, everybody knows, right? You're having a conversation, and what are you thinking in your mind? That's right. How am I going to answer? Or what story can I share? or right? So that is that internal listening. And so we're not really listening. Our minds are going somewhere else. And that's just natural as part of a conversation, but not a coaching conversation. Coaching conversations, we want to move to focused listening and then global listening. So in focused listening, we are intent on what the other person is saying. It requires a lot of focus and attention. And one strategy during focused listening is clarification or paraphrasing. So I'm listening to you, and then I might summarize when you've got to, to a pause. I summarize back to you what you said. And that really helps you focus on, am I listening, and what the other person is saying. So I'd like to give you an example. So this came from my role as principal. I had a special education class in my school, an amazing teacher, challenging children. One of the children had a meltdown, came out to the hallway, was throwing things, and the teacher came alongside and asked, like, what's going on? Why are you upset? And the student went on and on and on, and then the teacher paraphrased back to the child and said, you're angry and you're upset because that student treated you with disrespect. And you could just see diffuse. And the child was hurt, the child was listened to, and it just diffused the whole situation. Listening is powerful. The next level of listening is global listening. So that's where some people say it's listening with the heart. It's listening to what's not being said. It's watching for the body language, right? The nonverbal cues. You're also watching for that light bulb moment, otherwise known as a cognitive shift. You can see like a change in energy. You can see maybe the person sits up straighter. They have better eye contact because they've evoked awareness. Something has come to them from all of those questions that you've asked and you've really listened intently to. It evokes awareness in them, and you can see that cognitive shift in them. So, were you listening? I hope so, because you're going to try it. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to take a minute, and you're going to think of someone who is a role model in your life and why. Then you're going to turn to the person beside you or around you. So this is a partner activity. This is part A, and then there'll be part B. So you're going to talk to that person, and you're going to tell them, this is a role model. This is a person who's a role model in my life, and you're going to tell them why. And that's the end. And then the other person will do it. Easy start, right? Okay. Ready? Go.
I'm going to go ahead and
Just remember who the role model was, okay? All right. So here we go on to the next part. Asking questions. There are books, like this is a very skinny book, but there are books and books for coaches on questions. Just notice something. Look at it. It matches. I'm so visual. So again, this is from the Coactive Institute. When a coach asks a powerful question, these questions are intended to encourage thoughtfulness and reflection to get at the heart of what's important. When a leader can practice the skill of powerful questions, they guide their teams to a deeper sense of knowing. They can tap into the inner wisdom and the unspoken creative designs and wants. So the more you get involved in asking those deep questions, the more you're going to learn about the team that you're working with, and the more transformational your team and your relationship will become. Questions hold the power to cause a person to think, to dig deep, and to answer those questions, and to find motivation within them. So we talked, remember back in those roles we talked about? So when I am a mentor or a consultant, I am the expert. I am the one with skill. When I ask you questions, I am a partner. I am curious about you. I am honoring you. And asking creates buy-in. I think this Graham and I were talking about this before, right? So the research indicates that people are more motivated to carry out their own ideas and solutions. Hear that? They come to you, they're seeking something, but they really want their own solution to work. So in a coaching situation, yeah.
What if they have a shorter way of looking at things?
Then you recommend that they go to a counselor. Right?
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
They want a coach, but really they
There's often times where people will come to a coach and they're not in the frame of mind to be coached. So they're, right? So that happens. And it also could be that they don't appreciate my, like I had one coach, like this is all through practice coaching, and my style and who I was didn't match with her style. Like she was very, like almost like pushy, right? So there are performance coaches, and that's their role. Their role as a performance coach is to push you. Or there, right? So there are different types of coaches. And all people aren't going to fit with all types of coaches. I was just telling the coaching style that I like to work with is the person I work with, she would do creative things with me, like she would give different suggestions, and that really worked for me for a coaching style. So not everyone is going to, this is, again, professional coaching. So the skills that we're learning, that we're talking about today, in listening and in asking questions, these are skills that you can walk out the door with, right? And that's kind of where we want to focus. So that, asking creates the buy-in. Again, this is from Weber's book. He says that questions enable the coachee to reflect more deeply on than how they would on their own. And I'm going to say this, if you're a teacher, you know this, not all questions are created equal. So I like what Weber says. He comes up with these two ways of looking at it. My idea questions are really just a way of getting our suggestion in, right? So one example he gives, have you thought about firing him? What am I saying when I ask that question? Is it really a question? My suggestion really is that you should be firing them, right? So that's where the person's mind just starts to go, oh, maybe I should be firing them. I wonder, is that the answer, right? Excuse me. Whereas open questions, they move a person to explore. Again, like this gentleman said, they move that person into exploratory mode. So instead of saying, have you thought of firing him, switch that to, what options do you see in working with him? So we see the one. I'm going to read another couple of examples from Weber. I have one in your handout there. Some other ones. My idea question. Is casting vision the next step for the team? That's my idea question. Open question. What are possible next steps for the team? Like just a slight change, but it changes the whole dynamic of the conversation. My idea question. Could someone on your team help? Maybe you don't want someone on your team to help. So switch it around and say, open question, who might be able to help in this situation? My idea question. Do you learn from reading books or talking with people? Open question. How do you prefer to learn new things? So you can see the difference. My idea questions traps the person, engages the person into your way of thinking, whereas an open question you want to explore. Yeah, you ready? So now, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get back with the same person, and you're going to say, Brian, somebody was a role model for you, and then you're going to ask them questions. And the questions that are there in a certain order for a reason. You are free to open up to your own questions, no problem. But I've sequenced them this way intentionally, and we'll come back to that intention after you do a little bit of hands-on learning. All right, I'll give you more time for this. Woo! Okay, so 4:43, I'm going to give you 7 minutes. It was supposed to be 10, but I'm only going to give you 7, okay? So that's about 3 each, all right? To go through a whole coaching conversation. Ready? Go!
I'm going to go to the next one. So we're already bringing this call, for example.
Yeah, I would love to know more
I'm going to go to the next one.
Hard to do the active listening thing because I want to interject all my stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I should have asked for social workers in the crowd. Anybody else? What about you? What did you learn about your listening skills?
Can you repeat the question?
Thanks, Pastor. Anybody else? Yes.
Just that it's a great way to get to know someone better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. That's a great takeaway. Mm-hmm. So when you're really listening, you really get to know someone a lot better than if you're thinking about something else. Good. All right. So if you remember the diagram we started with, so now we're going down to the other side. We're going down to the action, the last part of the framework. So the last part of the coaching conversation is getting the coachee to move from that awareness that has been evoked. I just had Al coach me, did an amazing job, by the way, asked me some awesome questions. And the questions helped me to evoke awareness. So I thought, he asked me, he turned the question around, which was really good, because I started talking about things that motivated me. And the person that I picked for my role model was someone who coached me, and she was an amazing coach, and I just thought, I just want to be like her. Like, she's so good at coaching. I learned from that experience, though, and then Al turned the question around and said, so how did you apply that today? So I went from, talking about being motivated out here to really making it personal, right? So making it personal is where we get to here. In the last stage here. So you're going to help the person select action steps. This, and you're going to coach them through that. So sometimes the person will come up with these amazing action steps. Like I'm coaching this one person, and she comes in with 7 goals. Well, you're not going to get to 7 goals by next week, right? So it's really working at helping them pare down what is the genuine thing that you want to work on, that you want to walk away with from the coaching conversation, and how are you going to put that into action? So try to keep that small, right? And is it doable? So I don't know if you've heard about SMART goals. So SMART goals are like, are they specific? Are they measurable? Are they achievable? Are they realistic? Are they timely? So can you like just narrow it down, narrow the focus? So a key question that I just love at the end of a session, and I'm going to like just ask you that question, like what is it, what's the key takeaway from today? So I'm going to ask you that in the next slide. So if I put my spin on it, like, it's so surprising when I say, what's your key takeaway? What's your learning? In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I bet they're going to go here, and then I can coach them there, and that's a good action step. They'll come up with something that is totally different, because that was what was important to them. This was the key. They evoked awareness on something, and so when they're walking away, it's got to be their goal, their action step. And you're there to support them however you can, but they're accountable to their action step themselves. And it's amazing, once again, to see how the Holy Spirit leads and brings that awareness. So the coachee decides, and you're there to support. So, in conclusion, coaching effectively takes work, and it takes practice. And I think, first of all, you need to believe in it. You need to believe that there are amazing benefits, and it does take time. It takes time. As I coach, as I said, I get stuck, and I remind myself that, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. Help me, direct me through this conversation. So I volunteer for an organization called Safe Families, and our church supports this organization. So I volunteer for them as a family coach, and I just finished my coaching training, and I was excited to use my coaching abilities as a family coach. So I worked with this one woman. So Safe Families works with people that are in a crisis, and they come in and support them with a circle of support. There's resource, there's volunteers, there's a family coach, and there's support in whatever way we can to get them through the crisis by showing the love of Jesus. So this woman has 2 children with mental health needs, and she has mental health needs herself. But she's a believer, and so it was an amazing thing to come in and to coach her. I asked her if she would like to do a reframing exercise where you reframe your negative thinking. And I said, would you like to do that exercise? And she said she would. So I'm coaching her along, and I asked her, so what might God be saying to you right now? And she shared a verse of scripture, and then she started saying things about how much God loved her and how he was there for her. And I was writing these things down, and I said, can I say back to you what you just said? And I read back to her what she had said. And she said, started to cry, and she said, I don't remember saying that, but I can feel the love of God with me. And that's what we want to walk away from a coaching conversation with that impact that we've made through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of active listening, through the power of asking questions that are just evoking that awareness from the person. So I would just strongly recommend that you check out coaching. And so I'm going to ask you the question, what's your takeaway from the session today? And you have 30 seconds. I'm going to add something to this. So I was reviewing this with my son-in-law and my son. And he said, Mom, I think you should make sure that they put the date. So look at your last page there. Make sure they put the name of the person that they want to coach and put down the date of when they're going to do it. I don't know if any of you have read Mark Batterson's book called Win the Day. Excellent book if you need some strategies for winning your day. He talks about a study there Christ, they discovered in this study, that if you don't set your where and your when, you only have a 3% chance of meeting your goal. 3%. So that's why your challenge is set your where, set your when might you have a coaching conversation, and I would challenge you to do that. I'm going to go over 1 minute. Is that okay, Graham?
Okay.
And I'm just going to ask you in 1 minute to take your time and write down something on your paper, your takeaway or your coaching conversation. Would just like to pray with us now, if you don't mind. Our dear loving Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to share my passion. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to listen. Thank you, Lord, that you can give us wisdom, and all wisdom comes from you. And we acknowledge that, Lord, right now in this room. I just pray for each person here that you would help them to be that great listener, that you would help them, Holy Spirit, to find that person to speak with and to just love into that person and to show your love and to show your faithfulness. I just thank you for this time together, Lord. Amen. So thank you very much. Here's my information. I have cards at the back. And I've got, look at that. I have a QR code, Sean. Isn't that impressive?
I love it. I like the little dinosaur.
I know. I thought you'd like that. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, let me know.